Welcome to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This edition of Local Voices airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on a glance back at the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you again for tuning in to this special edition, A Glance Back, here on Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP.
Yeah.
taking a glance back at history with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Till you and I recapture our happiness once more, the joys I knew and shared with you are well worth waiting for. Till all our prayers are answered and all our dreams come true, I'll find my consolation in memories of you. I'll treasure all those memories of things we used to do, till all our prayers are answered and all our dreams come true. Time and tide may now divide us, but one day you'll see. Time and tide will bring you back to me. It may not be tomorrow, but we'll come smiling when all our prayers are answered and all our dreams come true. Time and tide may now divide us, but one day we'll see. Time and tide will bring you back to me. It may not be tomorrow, but we'll come smiling when all our prayers are answered and all our dreams come true.
See my baby, I'm gonna see my baby, I'm gonna see my baby when I get home on Victory Day. I really missed my baby, I really missed my baby. I'm gonna kiss my baby and live in love that U.S. way. Females, all right when you just have something to say, but female ain't like when your arms round your honey and you're home to stay. I'm gonna see my baby, I've really missed my baby. I wanna kiss my baby when I get home on Victory Day. Females, all right when just have something to say. But female ain't like when your arms round your honey and you're home to stay. I'm gonna see my baby. I've really missed my baby. I'm gonna kiss my baby when I get home on Victory Day. I'm gonna get back to the double track, see my friends down on the main stem, drop by the joint, say hello to the boss, grab my chicken, say let's get lost when I get home on Victory Day.
You are listening to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. Now, our local historian, Jim Steele, will take us back to the age of World War II.
This is KPIP, Radio 94.7 FM, and today we again welcome you to Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Jim Steele, reporting under the sponsorship of the Boone's Lick Historical Society. Well, as you may recall, during the last several weeks, we've done a series which has examined how Howard County's transportation evolved over the years, from riverboats to stagecoaches to trains and eventually highways. Today, we continue with an additional look at how other forms of transportation impacted life in Fayette and Howard County. Now, while we talked about the coming of paved roads, relatively little has been written about bus service serving Howard County communities. But it's generally known that for a time, Greyhound had routes within the county. That company eventually petitioned to abandon stops in smaller communities such as Glasgow and Fayette. However, some small bus companies, such as the White Star Line and the Marshall Boonville Moberly Stage Line, continued to serve this county. Bus stations in Fayette were located at various points, including South Main Street, the Howard Hotel, and on North Main, just south of the entrance to the Central Campus. Local residents and college students could use the line to link up with Greyhound service in Boonville or train service in Moberly. As the post-war years progressed after World War II, car ownership became increasingly common, of course, which ultimately brought the death knell to public transportation here in Howard County. Bus service was discontinued around 1951. Now to move on to a new but related topic in the history of this county. As we noted several weeks ago, train transportation, in particular, made possible the growth of both Central College, now Central Methodist University, and Howard Payne College. What follows is a glance back at the history of higher education in Howard County. Soon after the establishment of the county, early settlers, especially Methodist clergy, sought to establish institutions of higher learning in this area. The academies they established before the Civil War in Fayette were in New Franklin and Glasgow, as well as in Fayette, and they became the nuclei of colleges that emerged after the Civil War. In the 20th century, these early efforts would be the roots of what would become Central Methodist University in Fayette. Establishment of academies beyond the elementary level began in the 1820s. The Fayette Academy was set up in 1825, followed by the Howard Academy for Women in 1828. These schools offered secondary education even before the Civil War and also offered some courses at the collegiate level. In 1834, one Archibald Patterson, described as a man of classical attainments and experience as a teacher, came to Fayette. In a two-story house at the corner of Spring and Main, he upgraded the Fayette Academy as an institution of higher learning. A year later, the Howard Academy became Howard College, and then Howard Female College after 1859. Patterson hoped that the Fayette Academy would provide the location for the state university, which was seeking a site for the establishment at the time. A commission considered Central Missouri locales in Cole, Cooper, Boone, Callaway, and Howard counties. But in the end, as you know, of course, they selected Columbia in Boone County for the University of Missouri. Well, Patterson had begun construction of a substantial building after fire destroyed his earlier one. William T. Lucky, and that's what Lucky Street is named for, William T. Lucky opened Howard High School there in 1844. However, even though he'd built this new building, Patterson had been unable to raise enough capital to make a successful bid for the state university and had to sell his building at public auction to pay mounting debts. He left Fayette in 1844 to become president of the Masonic College in Lexington, Missouri. The buyer, Captain William Swinney, then deeded the property to the Methodist Episcopal Church South, this in 1847, which in turn provided Lucky with a place for Howard High School. Mr. Lucky and his wife, Mary Skerritt, had come from Illinois and began the school with just 7 students. But enrollment increased in 1845 when Mary's brother, the Reverend Nathan Skerritt, joined them in the enterprise. Carr W. Pritchett joined the administration in 1851, and by the later part of the 1850s, it had enrolled 250 to 350 students. In 1852, the school added a women's dormitory on the campus, which is now part of the Howard Payne Dormitory at Central Methodist University. These early academies were undoubtedly more secondary schools than university-level institutions. However, they had scholarly faculty, male and female, who taught such things as music, history, algebra, and geometry, as well as Latin and Greek. Pritchett and Skerritt were especially notable in the evolution of these academies into colleges of higher education. In September 1852, the St. Louis Conference of the Methodist Episcopal Church South proposed organization of a single Methodist college for both the St. Louis and Missouri conferences of the denomination, apparently the earliest written record of the future Central College, although it would be many years before such a single college existed. The Missouri Conference accepted the idea and agreed to cooperate with the St. Louis Conference in establishing such a college. However, a rivalry ensued between St. Charles and Fayette for the location of the proposed college. It was a debate that Fayette ultimately won, largely because of its more central location. David Skerritt and David Rice McAnally formally launched a committee that on April 13, 1853, outlined plans for the establishment of a college in Fayette. In the meantime, the Howard High School building had burned down in January 1854. Its reconstruction, the male and female components of the old school were separated. The Howard Female College emerged under the leadership of Lucky, while Professor Pritchett and Nathan Skerritt organized the men's college. Skerritt became the first president of what became Central College for Men, and now, of course, Central Methodist University. A meeting of the curators on February 4, 1854, led to the establishment of Central College, a name formally recognized by the St. Louis Methodist Conference in October. The next 3 years witnessed fundraising and renovation and construction of campus buildings, as well as curriculum and faculty development. The first classes at Central College convened on September the 18th, 1857, under the tutelage of 3 faculty members with 144 students. However, the Civil War was a bitter blow to higher education in the county and elsewhere, where it forced the closure of both Howard Female College and Central College between 1861 and 1865. Once the war was over, the college buildings were in disrepair. Eventually, Central reopened in 1870, and already other institutions of higher education had evolved even before that year. And we'll have more about this next week in KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Jim Steele, reporting for the Boone's Lick Historical Society.
That was our Glance Back in Time with Jim Steele, president of the Boone's Lick Historical Society. This series with Jim Steele will continue every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. during Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
Today's the day that all us cats must surely do our bit. We all must do our share so Uncle Sam can hit. Save up all your pots and pans. Save up every little thing you can. Don't give it away. Get some cash for your trash, yeah. Save up all that old newspaper. Save and pile it like a high skyscraper. Don't give it away. Get some cash for your trash. In between we'll do some loving. White handsome turtle doving. Will you listen to me, honey? Get plenty of the folding money. Save up all your iron and tin. But when you go to turn it in, don't give it away. Get some cash for your trash. say in between we'll do some loving, white handsome turtle doving. When you listen to me, honey, get plenty of the folding money. Save up all your iron and tin. But when you go to turn it in, don't give it away, no, no. Get some cash, get some cash, get some cash for your trash. Get plenty of it, too.
When the roses bloom again and the fields feel the plow, we will meet again, sweetheart, somehow. When the birds take back the sky and the night smiles above, we'll be free again to live and love. Until then, oh, how I'll miss you. The laughter and tears we used to share. Till then, in dreams I'll kiss you and seal every dream with a prayer. When the roses bloom again, when the world starts anew, I'll be waiting here, sweetheart, for you.
The greatest generation lives here on 94.7 KPIP.
That's all. mind. Oh, baby, please come back, or you'll break my heart for me.
Camp that night, wondered what tomorrow'd bring. A banjo chord came through the blue, and I heard somebody sing. Little bit lonesome, little bit blue, cleaning my rifle and dreaming of you. Beautiful memories come into view while cleaning my rifle and dreaming of you. That goodbye kiss you left on my lips is still just like new, and the dream you left in my heart will someday come true. But in the meantime, think of me, do, cleaning my rifle and dreaming of you.
This is Local Voices with a glance back at World War II with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
This is a day of national consecration, and I am certain that on this day my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured. We will survive and we will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance.
This is KPIP Radio, 94.7 FM. And today, we continue with Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Jim Steele reporting under the sponsorship of the Boone's Lick Historical Society. Now, for those who have listened to these broadcasts in past weeks, it's probably been clear that we've emphasized early 20th century American history with an eye to how important leaders and events impacted not only the nation, but also Howard County and Fayette. No single leader was more important than President Franklin D. Roosevelt, whose leadership did much to bring us into what might be called modern times, serving more than 12 years through depression, war, and upheaval, including the atomic age and the beginning of major societal changes, such as civil rights and the better inclusion of women in all aspects of American life. Now, just now, we have listened to excerpts of FDR's first inaugural address from March the 4th, 1933. But before going on to hear excerpts from his second inaugural address in 1937, it might be appropriate to look how a few of his programs impacted life here in Howard County. Certainly, a plethora of agricultural programs did much to improve farm life here, including propping up farm prices, conservation measures, and of course the coming of REA, which we talked about a few weeks ago, bringing electricity to rural areas. And of course we can't forget the WPA, which made possible construction of the Fayette Swimming Pool in 1936 and other projects as well. Later, Fayette had a CCC, that stood for Civilian Conservation Camp, which made improvements to our city park and other aspects of local infrastructure. And in New Franklin, New Deal public work funds made possible construction with the much-remembered viaduct, Highway 5 viaduct, which improved highway safety over the railroad tracks. And last but not least, Social Security made life here and elsewhere more secure, in addition to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, which made banking safer. These are just a few of FDR's contributions to life as we know it today. So now we'll listen to excerpts from President Roosevelt's second inauguration, taking place on January 20th, 1937.
Prosperity already tests the persistence of our progressive purpose. So let us ask again, have we reached the goal of our vision of that fourth day of March, 1933? Have we found our happy valley? I see a great nation upon a great continent, blessed with a great wealth of national resources. Its 130 million people are at peace among themselves. They are making their country a good neighbor among the nations. I see a United States which can demonstrate that under democratic methods of government, national wealth can be translated into a spreading volume of human comfort hitherto unknown, and the lowest standard of living can be raised far above the level of mere subsistence. I see millions of families trying to live on income so meager that the pall of family disaster hangs over them day by day. I see millions whose daily lives in city and on farm continue under conditions labeled indecent by a so-called polite society half a century ago. I see millions denied education, recreation, and the opportunity to better the lot of themselves and their children. I see millions lacking the means to buy the products of farm and factory, and by their poverty, denying work and productiveness to many other millions. I see one-third of a nation ill-housed, ill-clad, ill-nourished. But it is not in despair that I paint that picture for you. I paint it for you in hope, because the nation, seeing and understanding the injustice of it, proposes to paint it out.
That was FDR's second inaugural address from January 20th, 1937. For 94.7 KPIP Local Voices, A Glance Back, I'm Jim Steele reporting.
Right. How's about a corner with the table for talking to really be. One is for the glory, two and three. We're gonna break it up tonight.
A soldier, for you know that he is fighting for your peace, and he is your Uncle Sammy's nephew, while you are your Uncle Sammy's niece. Oh, girls, don't refuse to kiss a soldier, or a sailor, or a big old tough marine. For they'll show the Japs and old man Hitler the toughest bunch that they have ever seen.
J-E-L-L-O, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Oka pudding, yes, sirree.
That's a cola. It's a pot. 12 ounces. That's a lot. Twice as much for nickels, too.
Take a glance at the past and present with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Love is such a funny thing, you find it everywhere. There's so much of the stuff around, it's even in the air. Because I love a uniform above all other things, I looked around until I found a pair of silver wings. I fell in love with the Nairman who had big blue eyes. I used to watch him doing crazy things in the skies. We went for a spin way up in the blue. What happened there is my affair and I'm not telling you. We flew around and round and round and looped the loop by heck. And when we straightened out, I wound up hanging round his neck. I fell in love with an airman who had big blue eyes. But I'm nobody's baby now. He was so strong and tall. He wasn't worried cause he knew a little rain must fall. I fell in love with an airman who had big blue eyes. But I'm nobody's baby now. Him doing crazy things in the skies. He knew we must part. he said it's a crime. My little chickadee come up and see me sometime. He handed me a parachute, he showed me all the tricks. He helped me pull the string, that's how I lost my camouflage. I fell in love with the name and knew with big blue eyes. But I'm nobody's baby. Darling, the boy should have said she's nobody's baby then.
Right. Nobody's baby.
I'm nobody's baby. I'm nobody's baby now.
Break of day, they're off and away into the gray clouds flying, flying forth away to the north. Sound of their engines dying over the mountains. Keeping the skyways free, so we are waiting till they return. What will their tidings be? The victory roll, the victory roll. Here come the Spitfires back from patrol. Look up quick, the victory roll. So lovely to see, for three and then three. Here come the Spitfires home from the sea. Home for tea, the victory roll. Flying low beneath the cloud, hearts below all proud. Into view against the blue, with their engines roaring loud. The victory roll, the victory roll. Here come the Spitfires home from patrol. Look up quick, there's the victory roll.
Take a glance at the past and present with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
The war has provided some problems that have worried us all quite a lot. How can we live when the price of our food is 14 and threepence per butt? But the thing that worries me and the whole darn family is, where can poor Pa go in the blackout? Where can poor Pa go at nights? He can't find his way to his favourite club. He can't find his pals, cause he can't find the pub. So where does poor Pa go in the blackout? He stays home and glares at the kids. He grumbles at mother, she grumbles at him, and says, well, go out, I'm not keeping you in. So father goes out in the blackout, although it is pouring with rain. And just as he gets out, then off goes the siren, so he comes right home again. Where can poor Pa go in the blackout? Where can poor Pa go at nights? There aren't any pools and he doesn't play nap. His coat's in the tool shed, he can't find his cap. So what does Pa do in the blackout? He sits home and mopes by the fire. He can't spend his money and mother knows that. She takes it all from him to buy a new hat. So father, he curses the blackout and says it will drive him insane. He pops his head out and then off goes the siren, so he pops it back again. We know where the flies go in winter. We've all known that old one for years. And most of our lads have by now found the daughter of Mamselle from Armentières. But there's one thing must remain, so I ask you once again, what can poor Pa do in the blackout? What can poor Pa do at nights? If he gets to the pub, well, it's tenpence a pint. It costs him at least 30 bob to get tight. So what does Pa do in the blackout? He just sits at home and looks glum. He started on fretwork, he painted the bar, but mother sat in it, we did not laugh. And father was out in the blackout, and mother screamed out with the pain. And as soon as he heard it, he thought it was the siren, so he rushed right home again. Where can poor Pa go in the blackout? Where can poor Pa go at nights? His pals are all stuck in their homes just like him. They cannot get out, so they gotta stop in. So what can poor Pa do in the blackout? He says that it's driving him mad. He puts on the wireless, and what does he get? Just haw-haw and boo-hoo, and they're pretty wet. So he tries to go out in the blackout, but he goes and falls right down the drain. He limps back to mother, and she tells him he's drunk, and so he limps right out again.
A big cigar, he's a grand old man. For us, he's doing all he can. He's bound to find the turning, however long the lane. Then we'll see the rain, for when we chase away the rain, for what we've done before, we know we'll jolly well do again. If we follow the grand old man, he's a grand old man. Never was an old soul ran. Britain's guiding star, known both near and far, wearing the famous bulldog grin and smoking a big cigar. He's a grand old man. For us, he's doing all he can. And now it's up to you and me. We've got a job to do. We know that we have got the stuff that's going to see us through. There's the army and the air force and the boys in navy blue, and we still got the grand old man.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me, and the gold of her hair crowns the blue of her eyes like a halo tender. If only I could see her, oh, how happy I would be. Where the blue of the night meets the goal of the day. Someone waits for me. The gold of the day. Someone